Good morning. I'd like to show you a rather special book to me. It's just a little scrapbook and notebook, really, but it's stuffed full on every page of little cards. And these are from restaurants that Susan and I have eaten in over the 34 years of our married life. So it's not a valuable book, but it's a precious book to me and to Susan. And every time I look at one of these cards, I recall not only the restaurant, sometimes I've forgotten the food, unless it was especially good or especially bad. But it helps contact me in my heart with what was going on in our lives at that moment. And it recalls memories of conversations, of people we were with, and where we were in our lives at that moment. Now, I'm guessing that many of us are really missing eating with other people at the moment. I know I'm finding that really sad and just a pity. If you're watching this by yourself, I want to invite you to just have a brief think. For 30 seconds, or if you're with others as you watch this, perhaps for 30 seconds, have a brief conversation. What are the most memorable meals of your life? And what made it special? Was it the people you were with? What was going on? What the conversation was? Or the food? What made your meal memorable? What an amazing piece of writing is Luke chapter 24. I love this story, and it's worth reading it, the whole account from Luke 24, verse 13, right up to 35. It's that story of the road from Jerusalem out to Emmaus, the two who were journeying, downcast, crestfallen, in despair, and Jesus was actually walking with them, and they had no idea. They only recognized him at that special moment in the shared meal. And I love this story because those disciples would never forget that meal. I bet they told the story 1,000 times. And it's reminded Christians ever since about the 4 central things in our Holy Communion. Because it was at table, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He said that prayer, the Eucharistic prayer, saying thank you to Father God for the food. And then Jesus broke it. And then he gave it to them. Jesus took, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. And it says that in that moment, their eyes were opened. I've always wondered why their eyes were opened, but it was in the middle of a meal. Some people have suggested they saw the scars of the nails in his hands. But I think it was more to do with, this is the familiar Jesus. They hadn't seen him before. But in the everyday thing of eating with Jesus, they remembered again who he was and that he truly was with them. I've always loved this painting. It captures the moment of the climax of the story. It's the moment of recognition. Their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. It's called The Supper at Emmaus by Michelangelo Merici da Caravaggio, which is a name even more exciting than my own. When you look at it, I wonder where your eye first falls. Perhaps on Jesus' face, and his face seems to illuminate the entire room. Jesus is the center of attention, and he's wearing pure white robes, but half of them are the color of blood, reminding us of what he's just been through. And then there's the bread and the wine.
Jesus is recognized in breaking bread and sharing wine, and it recalls the Last Supper and us having communion now. And you notice there's a shadow. The light is actually coming from the left. And so the shadow is cast by the standing man, and yet it falls exactly behind Jesus. Only Jesus is the one who's been through the valley of the shadow of death, as in Psalm 23. And now God has indeed prepared a table for him. His cup overflows. Goodness and mercy will be following him all the days of his life, and he'll be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And on the table you see the fruit. Now that Christ has been raised, the fruit of the Spirit can flourish. He's the first fruit from among the dead. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, we remember at the Last Supper, Jesus had said he would not taste of the fruit of the vine until he tasted it afresh with them, with his followers in the kingdom. And now it's happening. And I don't believe any detail in this extraordinary painting is random. There's the chicken. I like to think of it as the cockerel who accused Peter. And through the resurrection of Jesus, our accusers can simply get stuffed. And then there's the other men. In his day, Caravaggio got in quite a lot of trouble for his choice of models, because he didn't use professional models. He used ordinary people he saw on the street. And sometimes there was an outcry because the face of one of the saints in a painting was actually the local baker. And we notice their shabby clothes. And yet this is hugely Christian, because it takes the incarnation seriously. These are real people, not actors. And if Jesus eats with his disciples, it's real food and real drink. It's earthy. Well, I'm not an expert. I just know what I like. There's also one other little detail I notice. It's the shell. It's the symbol of mission. Throughout Christian history, shells were used to pour water on the head of those baptized, and it's a symbol of Christians being sent out. It's still the symbol of churches together. And the shell reminds us that these were people who met Jesus and were changed forever and then were sent out. In the creed, we say that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So we're saying there's only one true church, the people who know and love God through Jesus. But we are apostolic. And that just doesn't mean that we are founded on the teaching of the apostles, but that we, like them, are the sent out ones. Apostoline, the sent out ones. That's us. Even in these days when we have to stay at home, in our hearts we know that is our calling. And there's another detail in verse 33. We read that they got up at once and they had to tell others. And the Greek word there is connected with the word anastasia, which means resurrection. They are raised. They get up like Jesus from the grave. And we're called not to be spectators. We're included in the action. Notice the hand of the disciple coming out almost out of the canvas at us. We're called to be engaged in the story. We're to be changed and then to go out as the witnesses like them. And so I encourage you in this Easter season to be a people who make the resurrection of Jesus real to others. To be a people who are incarnate, enfleshing the life of the risen Christ today. And Jesus wants us to be those who share his bread, spiritually as well as physically when we can't do it now. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him." are he with me? Jesus is still looking to share meals with us in our homes when we can't get out, when we can't be with our friends. Jesus is still present to us. May God bless you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.